Well, I hope Huey Bowman doesn't swear on Saturday when he's all mic'd up for this special jump out, history-making jump out. Winx won't be going around in the Apollo Stakes, the Group 2, on the weekend, but will be going around in a jump out with Huey mic'd up for the crowd, and I imagine our Sky audience as well. Good morning, Adam Pengelly.
Morning, TK. How are you, mate?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it, really, that Huey's going to be riding in a jump out and going to be mic'd up. They're trying to work out sort of the final logistics about that and how it's going to work, but he's definitely going to wear a camera to give sort of the audience a bit of an armchair view of what it's like to ride Winx. And they're going to try and get a mic on him as well so they can talk the audience through what it's like to actually ride Winx in a jump out. So I think it's a fantastic initiative from the ATC and Racing New South Wales to go ahead and do this. Probably going to drag, I would have thought, a couple thousand extra people through the gate having Winx there on track. And Chris Waller wants to sort of simulate race conditions. He wants to make it a genuine sort of contest for her. Obviously, she's going to go into the Chipping Norton first up at the mile, so the bunch will be giving a little bit of a workout. Expect her to beat most of her stalemates in that jump out, but I think it's a really good initiative to have Huey on board. I suppose Huey's such a laid-back, laconic sort of guy. He probably sort of almost wishes that through suspension he didn't have to go to the races on Saturday, but the chance to ride Winx at any stage is an exciting one. So I'm looking forward to this, see how it plays out. It might be a bit of a blueprint for the future.
I actually spoke to Huey on Saturday night, saw him at a function, and he said given the fact that it's not a trial, you know, that if Winx knows it's in the afternoon, there's a crowd there. And yeah. If I give her a squeeze, she'll want to beat whoever she's running against. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. The CF4, spectacular finish. Hartnell, who we thought just had his heart broken all the time by Winx, gets the win. And some of the runs, though, we've got Single Gaze and Brave Smash, just exceptional, Adam.
Yeah, they were. Jimmy, what do you reckon with Hartnell? Did you take on Winx in the Chipping Norton Stakes again?
Is the Australian Cup the option?
Yeah, I would have thought personally, Jimmy, that would be the more logical option for him to stay down in Melbourne and target the Australian Cup, because he's come back obviously in fantastic order. But having said that, he did that last campaign as well in the spring, remember?
First up last campaign, yeah, he was really good and we thought, Hartnell's going great. And then he never fired a shot again.
He didn't, PK. He just tailed off in his campaign. Obviously, the drama about whether he's going to run in the Melbourne Cup or whether he wasn't going to run. He ended up running and performing pretty poorly. But he's got to try and carry that form to longer in his preparation. He was outstanding in the CF4 Stakes. I know there's a lot of hard luck stories. We mentioned a few of them already with Single Gaze and Brave Smash. Mighty Boss was terribly unlucky. Tosin Stardom was in there as well. Abby Marie was held up for a run and couldn't get out. So from a form perspective, guys, I just want to treat this race a little bit cautiously, because you know when you see those blanket finishes, you sort of think, is that really a great form race? The overall time was pretty slow. So going forward, I want to treat it a little bit cautiously, but you can't take any away from Hartnell. He was wide throughout the trip as well and did a tough and was still really strong on the line. So the challenge for him to try and replicate that form later in the campaign. If it was mine, put it that way, I'd be keeping him in Melbourne for the Australian Cup. Yeah. And I'd be avoiding Winx at all costs.
Yeah.
There's so many storylines that always come out of Single Gaze, and it looks like there's going to be another storyline comes out of Single Gaze.
Yeah, a few reports on the weekend, TK, that she's been sold to Japanese interests, and after she finishes her autumn campaign, she'll be heading over to Japan and to be served by the super stallion over there in Deep Impact. So obviously, Nick Oliver and Kathy O'Hara and Nick Foreman and Billy Owen have done an absolutely amazing job with her. She was runner-up in the Caulfield Cup last year. Her run on Saturday in the CF4 Stakes was outstanding, just ducking along the inside there and almost got the bob. So she's been an outstanding filly and mare for such a long time. She won the Vinery as a three-year-old filly, got her Group 1 on the board. And I tell you what, if she maintains that form from the CF4 Stakes on Saturday, there's every chance she might chalk up another Group 1 before her career's finished.
Yeah, wouldn't you love to see that? I think some of the boys from the Gundagai Tigers are involved in the ownership. Dave George, I think it is.
Marty Hay and Dave Tout, I think.
Dave Tout. His young bloke played for the West Tigers.
Yeah, he did, actually. They've had a ride of a lifetime, haven't they? I remember catching up with Marty and Nick down in Melbourne for the Melbourne Cup last year, and I was just absolutely blown away by the fact that she made it to the Melbourne Cup, and just the amount of publicity that she generated as well was absolutely outstanding. And for Marty and Dave and the rest of the owners, they've had an enormous ride.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
We could have a superstar. Superstar's a big word, TK. But I think we've got a star in Kamentari.
Well, TK, wasn't he impressive at Warren Farm on Saturday? I think a lot of good judges expect him to come back and probably win that Eskimo Prince, but it was the manner in which he won which just blew so many people away. It was effortless. It was just an arrogant ride from Glenn Schofield. And I saw the interview with Glenn on Sky Thoroughbred Central after the race, and he was almost lost for words. He didn't really know what to say. I think the manner in which he won even took him by surprise, and he won two or three lengths hard held going away. So you would say if he can replicate that form later in the campaign, a race like the Randwick Guineas might be at his mercy. And it was a great day for Godolphin on Saturday all around the country. They had winners in Sydney, in Melbourne. They had a winner up at the provincials as well. And even our old mate, Old North, got the chocolates up there in Brisbane first up. So James' team is coming into form at the right time of year.
Well, you know when Old North's winning anywhere that your stable must be in form, right?
Kemantari now $11 equal favourite with Happy Clapper for the Doncaster Mile. And Glenn Schofield said after that race, Adam, this horse has got gears and I didn't use any of them today.
Yeah, he didn't get out of second gear at all. And they've got Elise as well, has come back in great fashion as well, judging by a barrier trial. So what James does with those three-year-olds, he tries and split them up. Obviously, Elise can probably take on a few of the fillies races. Does one of them progress to the Doncaster? I'm not too sure, but I tell you what, he's got some options on his hand, which is always a good thing as a racehorse trainer.
Good on you, Adam. We thank you so much for that.
Thanks, guys. I'll speak to you soon.